WABC.
77 WABC. The following program is brought to you by NYU Winthrop Hospital. It's the weekend. Be good to yourself. It's Katz's Corner with Dr. Aaron Katz, where you get simple, straightforward answers to your questions about health, from diet and supplements to lifestyle changes. To reach Dr. Katz, call 800-848-WABC. Now, live on 77 WABC, it's the chairman of urology at NYU Winthrop Hospital in New York. Here is Dr. Aaron Katz.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome again to Cancer's Corner here on WABC Radio in New York. I'm your host, Dr. Aaron Katz, and we're live at 1-800-848-WABC. It's 1-800-848-9222. So glad you could join me this morning. And it was, well, first let me start, before I talk about yesterday's fantastic seminar, I have to wish all the dads out there, including my own, a wonderful Happy Father's Day. I hope you all have a wonderful day and enjoy it with your families, your loved ones, or whoever, friends, maybe by yourself, just giving yourself a day of to yourself, and because you've been a great dad, and you deserve a wonderful day. So I wish you enjoy it. And we had a terrific seminar yesterday. It was really great. And if you were there, you want to give me a call. The lines are open, 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Dr. Michael Roizen was there as our keynote speaker, and he delivered a fantastic speech and educated all of us about, well, there's a lot of different things that he talked about. And he discussed the benefits, of course, of nutrition and specific things within the diet that can be helpful in preventing disease. He started his talk actually with some interesting statistics, not surprisingly, about the average age that people will live. You know, it's back in the 1900s, I think the average age, he said, was around 40. And he predicts that within a few years, probably within 30 years, the average age will go up over 80 years old, and people will be living into their, 120, 130, crazy statistics that he presented. If we do the right things, which a lot of it was emphasizing the reduction in calories. And he has a plan where he says it's worked to increase your, he believes that you can increase your stem cells. These are the cells within your body that can regenerate into new cells, new healthy cells. And within the cells, within the component of the cells, he talked about something it's an organelle, and it's called the mitochondria. And the powerhouse of the cell, and he felt that by incorporating specific things within the diet, exercise, eating more fruits, vegetables, salmon, walnuts, he mentioned, were great. Quitting things like toxins to your body, obviously things like tobacco, smoke, and other chemicals and toxins that you can reduce and get rid of, that you can potentially regenerate these stem cells. And he came up with a term which I thought was interesting, called an embryonic reboot, where you can turn on specific genes within your body and turn off the ones that you don't want. And he did show some interesting work actually with prostate cancer patients who went on a specific type of regimen of diet and exercise, and he showed the gene panels, and it really was amazing that how you can affect the specific components within your DNA and turning genes on and off. And then he did mention specific things about blood pressure, which is no surprising that you want to get your blood pressure under control. You want to get your body mass index between 20 and 25. That's your height divided by your weight. That's key in reducing the, your body fat. Hemoglobin A1C, the amount of sugars that are in your body, you want to measure that level. And I've talked about that before here on Katz's Corner. Your hemoglobin A1C, he mentioned, should be less than 6.4. And then, of course, not surprising, your cholesterol levels, which should be, the LDL levels should be under 100. It's not easy to do. I mean, even if you're on a great diet, if you have the bad genetics, and you're going to have high levels of cholesterol in your body. But those were the kind of the targets there that to strive for. And then there was a big part of his talk on brain dysfunction. And within the brain itself, there was a specific region he talked about called the hippocampus. And he said that size doesn't always matter, but within the brain, the hippocampus is the area that seems to be extremely important for memory. And he felt, and he's done some studies, that you can change the size of your hippocampus. And again, it gets into, he felt salmon, DHEA, which are fish oils, avoiding toxins, drinking coffee, he mentioned, was important. Multivitamins, he thought, was important. And then also daily aspirin that he felt you should take with warm water, which has been shown in many studies, including his own, to reduce a number of different cancers like colon cancer and reducing cardiac disease, and also he mentioned erectile dysfunction, and obviously improving blood flow throughout the body. But he really was terrific, and he gave us a lot of hope, I thought. And the messages that I took away from it was, again, to be more mindful about what we eat, and reducing and restricting the calories that we take in each day, and to just eat smaller meals, and how it can affect and potentially regenerate stem cells and affect the DNA and the powerhouse of these cells to give us more energy. He said that as you get older, the energy source within your cells comes from the mitochondria, because the mitochondria converts the sugar into ATP, which is the active compounds that give us energy. And as we get older, normally we should be making 32 ATPs per sugar molecule. And as we get older, maybe we're only making one or two. And because our mitochondria is dysfunctional and we lose the mitochondria. And he thought that by doing these things, exercising and diet, fish oils, multivitamins, daily aspirin, 40 jumps a day. Okay, I didn't think about that, but because I do exercise, but I don't jump up and down. But I do see the value of it. I can imagine the value of it, how it can affect your bones and your muscles. 40 jumps a day. So there's a few take-home points if you weren't there at the seminar. And if you were there, I'd love to hear from you. 1-800-848-WABC. I thought it was a terrific day. Beautiful seminar, and just great to see everyone. The room was packed. And had wonderful response from so many people. Okay, we'll go to the phone lines. Let's take Joe, because he sounds like he's in trouble up there in the Catskills. You got a catheter in. Good morning, Joe. How you doing?
Hi, Dr. Katz. How are you?
What's going on?
Happy Father's Day to you.
Thank you so much.
I don't have the catheter in anymore.
Okay.
About 2.5 months ago, I had knee replacement surgery, and subsequently they put a catheter in. And, and then took it out, and I came home, and ever since I came home, I've been having a lot of difficulty urinating. I get up in the middle. I don't even get up. I keep one of those urine bottles next to me because I'm still recovering from the knee surgery. And I'm urinating at least a dozen times a night. And sometimes it feels like it wants to come out, and it won't come out. Sometimes it feels like it wants to come out, and it does come out, So, as I say,
let me ask you something, Joe. I mean, and I've seen a number of patients that have had either hernia surgery or knee surgery, and they undergo an anesthetic, anesthesia procedure, surgery, minor surgery, major surgery, and it really can have an effect on the bladder functioning. And if you have had a prostate condition in the past, it can exacerbate it, and you wind up in retention. Did you have these troubles before the knee surgery?
No, I didn't.
Nothing?
That's the thing. And my PSA is 0.2. The last time I had my blood tested, probably about 5 months ago, no, nothing. Maybe a little drivel thereafter, but, you know, I'm 65 years old, so, I mean, I expect that, you know.
Yeah, but they put a catheter in you at the time of the knee surgery, right?
Yes, they did, and then...
Why did they do that?
I'm sorry?
Why did they put a catheter in at the time of knee surgery?
I don't know. I guess because of having the knee replacement, they didn't want me getting up out of the bed for... They only kept it in for a day, you know, while I was having the surgery, and they took it out the next day after the surgery. So my PSA, as I say, was 0.2.
Yeah, I'm not worried about your PSA, but I am worried about your bladder. And, you know, there's a couple of things. First thing to think about, Joe, is, you know, did you develop an infection? A urinary tract infection because you had a catheter in can give you a lot of the similar signs of, you know, and feelings of what you're having. You know, you may, even though you don't have maybe fever or burning on urination, this frequent urination, clearly you need to have a urine culture if you haven't had a urine culture to assess whether or not you have an infection. Have you had that?
No, I haven't. I haven't.
Okay,
had
you need that.
I listen to you.
Do you have an internist?
Yes, I do. I have a urologist that was recommended to me because of the condition that I'm going through right now. So,
yeah, but you can't wait to get into a urologist's office 3 or 4 weeks to tell you that maybe there's a waiting list. So if you can't, you have to call your primary care doctor, tell them you're having this, that you might have a urinary infection, and you need to go to a lab and drop off a urine sample so that you can know within a day or two if you have an infection, you need to be on an antibiotic. If you don't, and then you need to go back to see the urologist up there because you even though you're urinating a lot and frequently, you may never be emptying your bladder, and you may actually be back in retention, and you may need a little medication. Are you on any prostate medication?
No.
Okay, so you definitely need to get a urine culture right away. And then you need to get an ultrasound, and then also tell the primary care doctor that you want an ultrasound of your bladder. Because if your bladder is stretched out and you're not emptying your bladder and you have all this urine in your bladder and you're going frequently, but you're never really emptying your bladder. You get it, Joe? You need an ultrasound right away. You need a urine culture right away. And if you are in retention, even if you can't get in to see the urologist right away, Your primary care doctor can write you a little medication for even something called Rapaflow or Flomax to drain your bladder because you don't want to wind up with another catheter and then that would set you back.
Gotcha. You know, when I first came home from the hospital, my urine was very dark, like I wouldn't say like Pepsi, but it was very, very, very dark. Very dark amber. But now it's like almost clear, I don't drink any. The most I drink is water and club soda, and that's it. You know, I don't drink coffee, I don't drink soda, and I don't know.
Listen, you're going to be. You sound frustrated. You're going to be okay. You just need.
I am.
I know. I can hear it in your voice. It's exhausting to get up 15 times a night. You're not getting proper sleep. You're thinking about this all day long. You don't know whether to drink or not to drink because you're peeing all day long. And it's annoying and it's frustrating. And it's, you know, but the problem is that you haven't really had any evaluation yet. Okay. So
no.
It's more than likely you're going to need a little medication. But I am concerned that possibly you have an infection. And if you leave the infection untreated, you know, it's only going to, you know, potentially get worse for you, Joe. So tomorrow morning. Or even today, you're on the phone, and I would start, if you can't get into the urologist, start with your primary care doctor. He can at least get the ball rolling for you, okay?
Thank you.
And let me tell you something, Joe. This is common. I've seen this time and time again. It's very common. I'm glad to hear your PSA is low. It's not related to prostate cancer. It's just that you may have a slightly over-enlarged prostate, and this anesthesia procedure that you had with the knee probably set things in imbalance. You were probably in a little bit of a balance there between your prostate and your bladder. Now it kind of set it off and you're no longer in balance and your bladder is no longer able to get all the urine out. That would be my guess. Okay.
Thank you, doctor. I appreciate it.
You'll
that.
Be fine.
I just didn't know where to start. You know?
Okay. That's where you start.
And to be quite honest with you, this is my eighth knee replacement in the past 5 years. They've failed. Yes, I've had five on my left side and three on my right because they've failed. They've become loose. And I've had catheters on those surgeries also, but not these results. And, you know, I know that when they took the catheter out, they had a problem deflating the balloon. Or whatever the air.
All right. Well, you know, the plot thickens. You may have had a little trauma there. I don't know. You shouldn't have trouble deflating a balloon with a catheter. Maybe there was a little trauma with the catheter. Either way, okay, the treatment is probably going to be the same. Rule out an infection and then get an ultrasound. If you're not emptying your bladder, you need to get on some medication, like, right away. And then you'll feel better.
Thank you, Dr. Katz. Happy Father's Day to you.
You'll feel better. You'll be okay. All right. Call back next week. Let me know how you're doing, Joe.
Thank you, sir. Have a good
Okay. Sure thing, buddy. All right. Yeah, that's frustrating. It's hard. And, you know, it really, you know, a lot of guys, most guys, you know, you get in their 60s, 70s, they have some urinary issues, but, you know, they're kind of stable. They're not really interfering all that much with your life for the most part. But someone like Joe clearly needs an evaluation yesterday. So I hope he can get some relief. Okay, go back to the phone lines, 1-800-848-WABC. We have half of the show left. Okay, George, good morning. How are you?
Hi, good, Dr. Katz, thanks. I'm a patient of yours, and I had a CyberKnife treatment 3 years ago. I think I'm doing very well. The PSA at lowest went to 0.2, and then the next PSA just, you know, a little while ago went to 0.3. So my question is, I heard you mention last week about the hypersensitive PSA, which goes out to the hundredth of a point. And I wanted to know if I would be a candidate for that to know, is my PSA, did it move just 200th of a point at the last change, or did it move like 1.9 or 0.19 at the last, you know, bounce up? So that was my question.
Okay, it's a great question. Typically, we reserve the hypersensitive PSA for those patients that don't have their prostate in anymore. Now, you know, with CyberKnife, and I'm glad to hear that you've done well, and a PSA of 0.2 or 0.3 to me is not concerning at all. You know, one particular rise, a tenth of a point, is really not much of a concern either, George. But you know, so I usually reserve it for those guys that have no prostate at all, because if you have your prostate in, because you still had, you had CyberKnife, so your gland is still there, it's going to make a little PSA,
right?
Okay, even the
right.
benign component. So I wouldn't get overly anxious about this. You can get the hypersensitive. There's no reason not to, if you wanted to. If the doctor would do it for you, that's fine.
Uh-huh.
But I think, you know, more than likely 3 years out of CyberKnife with a PSA, even of 0.3, in my experience of taking care of CyberKnife patients over the last, you know, 6 years that I've been at Winthrop, I think you've done excellent, and I'm not concerned about you at all.
Okay.
What was your Gleason score?
It was high. It was an 8. I'm a patient of yours, by the way. I don't know if I mentioned that.
I see. Yes, you did. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it was an 8, Gleason score 8. And the PSA was around a 20. And again, I'm 3 years out now, and it had gone down in different amounts. The last one, as I said,
the Gleason was 8?
Yes.
And the PSA was 20?
Yes.
Had just CyberKnife alone, no hormones or anything?
Right. Well, prior to CyberKnife, we did 3 months worth of Lupron prior to CyberKnife.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. That you probably would need a little hormones because, you know, you're kind of into that intermediate high-risk prostate cancer, which means,
right.
You know, that you would need a combination therapy. I mean, actually, you've done extraordinarily well, I would say, George.
I'm very happy. I know Dr. Blacksburg is very happy when I go to see him for the follow-ups. So my next follow-up is with you in July, just, you know, next month, and I'm scheduled for the PSA, but since it had gone from 0.2 to 0.3, and you mentioned the hypersensitive, I thought, well, gee, I'd be curious to know, you know, is it moving just by hundredths or moving by tenths? So that's why I was calling to know if that was to be something that you would allow me to do.
I would definitely allow you to do it. I think because of your situation that, you know, I didn't realize that you were kind of in this intermediate to high risk.
Yes.
That, yes, I would do it. Okay. Okay. So another question is, you know, if someone, and we talked about this yesterday, did you attend the seminar or not? You weren't there?
No, I wasn't able to go.
Okay, well, maybe next year.
Mm-hmm.
But
yep.
We did have a panel discussion about this, not specifically about rising. Well, there was a couple of questions that did come up about rising PSAs after surgery and after CyberKnife. And we typically would wait and not do any intervention unless the PSA went up 3 times in a row. So you've only had one you know, spike, let's say, not even a spike. I mean, a tenth of a point at three years out is not really a spike, but one slight increase. But if you did have another increase, we did discuss the new Aximen scan. That's a scan that's tagged with an antibody to an amino acid, I should say. And that new scan can be very helpful. In fact, Dr. Corcoran made a point that it can be used even in patients' PSAs when they're 0.2 or 0.3 to see if there is any evidence of recurrence and where it is of prostate cancer. I'm not saying that you need that at this point, George. It would be something to consider if the next time that the PSAs or the next 2 times it were to rise. But there are some new scans available. The Aximen scan is one of them that has been fairly reliable. A lot of these scans can have false positive readings, which can make people anxious. But that would be something to consider. But at this point, yeah, I would do a hypersensitive PSA on you because your PSA was so high, your Gleason score was high.
Yes.
You haven't been on the hormones for 3 years, I take it, correct?
That's correct, yep.
I think that your CyberKnife team should be congratulated, and you have done a terrific job. And you had no side effects from any of this?
No, it came out very well. Everything was great, and but I tend to be a worrier, and I like to get a lot of information. So can I? I'll call your office tomorrow morning and say that we talked on the phone.
Yeah, you tell him you spoke to Katz on the radio,
okay.
And he's given a green light for the hypersensitive PSA. We'll get you an order right away. Okay,
all right. That's terrific. Thank you very much for
Yeah, sure thing. One of the nice things about our integration with NYU has been that we've changed our electronic medical record, and we're now on something called Epic. And, you know, it's nice. I think that in the future, very near future, all the hospitals around the country will probably be, at least the major ones, will probably be on the same or similar medical record system, the electronic medical record, so that if you were to go to a different hospital and then you come back to see us, even though you're not in our hospital system, we can get your records. And the other thing about this system is that it makes it very easy for us to order tests like a hypersensitive PSA for this gentleman. We can get that to you rather quickly. So not a problem, George. Be glad to take care of it for you. Okay, we'll go back to the phone lines, 1-800-848-WABC. Some people were at the seminar yesterday, the Men's Health Seminar at the beautiful Garden City Hotel. What a gorgeous day it was, too, outside. Weather-wise, and everyone really stayed, I think, till the end, and just really had a wonderful day. I think Niguri is on the line from Irvington. Good morning, sir. How are you? You were there at the seminar? Niguri? From Irvington. Hello?
Yes, Sadie.
Yes,
and one thing I want to say is that the seminar was extraordinarily wonderful. Very
thank
good,
you.
Very convincing, very informative. Every speaker... It was a day that I wish more people were there, although we had a lot of people. It was wonderful. And I didn't mention to you when
what,
I was there. About,
had you been to this? Let me just ask you, had you been to the seminar before?
Oh, yes, I have. Since the 2014, I missed one.
I see.
I've been there every year except one.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Well, we should give you an award or something. That's incredible.
Was
there one particular thing that stood out yesterday?
It's the totality of the whole thing, the positive image, that the positive vibe that it gets to us. I called all of us, they are patients, or for lack of a better word, we were all together. But every one of us, you could feel a feeling of positive attitude, because your voice, Dr. Cass, the voice of every doctor or that spoke over there, it just gave us hope. There's no need to feel bad or feel kind of this is the end. There's a hope of a better life ahead, lying ahead. And also the idea of diet and the things how to do. And all those things added up to me wanting to keep on coming to the next seminar. I wish I could bring the whole group of people there just come and listen.
Well, these words are beautiful, and I thank you so much for that, and I'm glad that you left with that impression. I mean, that's the hope. And you're right, there is a lot of hope, and we are learning a lot more about how to take care of patients and people and how we need to individualize and people. And not everyone, we talked a little bit about, in the prostate cancer session about how not all, cancers are the same, and obviously not all people are the same, and we need to tailor treatment for people, and we need to make sure that they are exercising and on the proper diet. And, you heard Dr. Roizen, he's the chief wellness officer at the Cleveland Clinic, and, he's written so many books on this. And it was, again, the message was clear. You're absolutely right that we can, he showed one slide. Remember that slide he showed with the man on the, holding back the clock, that we can maybe not, maybe we can make time stand still a little bit longer. You can't always reverse the aging process. But I think, to me, it's about healthy aging, and it's about, getting into, becoming older, but living healthy and being functional and getting out there and enjoying life. So thank you so much, and thank you for attending the conference, Miguel. I appreciate that. Okay, well, we have just a few moments left. If you want to give me a call, the number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. So our next big event that we'll be talking about over the summer months, we have some prostate events, some screening events for prostate cancer, which will be in September. We have a number of events out there. We always do a big show out in Long Island with Long Island Cruising event, which is the car show. That'll be in September. But we got a while before that. But that's always well attended, and people love to come out there and meet and greet and say hi to us. And we love seeing all of you. The rest of the seminar in the afternoon, I understand, was terrific. We had discussions from Jules Garbus talking about digestive and colon health and colon screening, and Kanta Amar talking about ways to improve sleep, and she has an outstanding, actually NYU Winthrop has one of the most premier sleep centers, and she was telling me that they're doing several hundred sleep studies a month now, where you stay overnight and you have your brain waves measured, and you can determine whether or not the problems of your sleep disorder. So if you have any questions about that, you really should contact the NYU Winthrop Sleep Center team, because they're just doing an excellent job. And there's so many people out there that, I see a lot of guys that say, oh, I have a problem with urinating and I can't sleep at night. But the problem may not be your prostate or your bladder. It may be a sleep-wake pattern cycle that you've gotten yourself into. Maybe it's sleep apnea. And so there are different mindful techniques that can be used. There's even, herbal things like melatonin, which she talked about, and she's believes in. If you take it at the right time and for the right condition, it can be very helpful to you. So I think it was a wonderful day, and I was really glad that the room was filled. We had this year over 130 people attend. I want to thank, of course, my wonderful staff at NYU Winthrop Urology, who were there and dedicated their time and meet and greet all the people that come. They do an outstanding job, and, I'm just so proud of them and honored to be part of the team. Well, I just want to wish everyone a very happy Father's Day. Next week we have a special guest, so I hope that you can tune in. You can tune in every Sunday. You can also check us out on the web at winthropurology.com, and the podcasts are always available. And I think next year what we'll do is we'll probably videotape this, because a lot of people came up to me and said, are you going to videotape this? And I think next year we probably will do something like that. Well, that's the end of the show, everyone. I want to wish all the dads out there a wonderful Father's Day. Enjoy the day. Have a wonderful day. It's gorgeous outside. Please get outside and do some activities and eat mindful and tune in every Sunday. This is Dr. Aaron Katz.
77 WABC.